This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Next on Reboot Your Life.
We look at the game-changing PTSD and depression ketamine treatment, changing the life of our veterans and you. Plus, how a former corporate executive and Marine Corps officer reframes the new compassionate male.
From Riverside Recovery, it's Reboot Your Life. Experience the ultimate reboot of your journey. Start anew and rediscover you. Transform your story.
Rewrite your life.
It's Reboot Your Life with Carrie Harrison and Ashley Neal.
Carrie Harrison here with you, and nobody is a stranger to recent events. We've all heard of a certain substance. We're suspicious of it, but if used properly, it can actually change the dynamic of people's lives, make their lives better. We're not talking about the Matthew Perry version, which was a street drug. Well, in a clinical setting, properly administered ketamine has changed the life of PTSD gridlocked veterans. And here's where the plot thickens. Ketamine becomes the maestro orchestrating the growth of new neurons. And these neurons aren't lone wolves. They bring along tendrils, the unsung heroes facilitating communication between different Broca's areas in the brain. These are a special area that you really do want to have working well. And why is this crucial? Well, the brain's version of a well-coordinated orchestra allows these things to do what they need to do to talk to each other. Then you have trauma and depression, something you and I are familiar with. Villains that damage neurons and hinder our growth. Well, ketamine apparently swoops in, stimulating growth almost like a neural superhero. There are even pictures to prove it, a visual testament to the brain's remarkable resilience. Well, with us is Dr. Bal Nandra. He's trained at the prestigious University of Chicago Hospitals Department of Anesthesia and Critical Care. With nearly 20 years of experience in a clinical setting, Dr. Nandra has assembled a top-notch team of registered nurses with ketamine infusion experience, along with licensed therapists and technicians who collaborate with people's primary care physicians, with their specialists, their mental health professionals. Yep, it's a team to treat depression, anxiety, chronic pain, even fibromyalgia, OCD, PTSD, and more. Dr. Bal Nandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Kerry. How have you been? Good?
I've been good. Good enough. Anyway,
yeah.
You painted a vivid picture of ketamine's dance in the brain ballet, or at least I did that for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few missteps here. Maybe the foxtrot turned into a ballet. I don't know. But how does its interaction with the brain differ from traditional medications?
Well, ketamine acts on a completely different receptor than all traditional medications do. It doesn't act with dopamine receptors, not very much at least, or norepi receptors. It acts on the NMDA receptor, which is a completely new receptor. And this was discovered literally, it's been two decades. So, you know, although we're talking about this now, this initial thing was discovered about two decades ago. And what it does, because of its psychedelic aspects, it kind of gives you a twofold journey into helping you with your mental health and your mental illness. Not only is that receptor in itself very effective in reversing symptoms of depression, anxiety, PTSD, and this and that, but the mildly hallucinogenic journey, also known as dissociation, like you mentioned, is in itself therapeutic. And some studies have actually shown that people who dissociate more actually have better outcomes with depression. So we do want that to happen. And it's almost kind of like internal therapy. It's like you're having therapy within your own brain during your treatment session. And it can be quite an amazing, eye-opening journey.
We have in Los Angeles and other major cities, also in rural areas, a disproportionate amount of veterans suffering PTSD from things way worse than my version of Mommy Dearest. Mine was Mommy Dearest and Cruella de Vil on a good Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I have my own version, but they were out for years, maybe doing things under somebody else's direction, forced to do things that most of us can't even imagine. They come back with PTSD. This ketamine treatment is actually changing the game for many.
I was attached to 110 Field Artillery Battalion. I was a medic for them. I enlisted in 1999, and I got out of the Army in November of 2003. After leaving the Army, I got myself into paramedic school and the Fire Academy, where I worked at Woodstock Fire Rescue, as a firefighter paramedic for 14 years before I pensioned off the job from my PTSD. After coming home from Iraq, the usual things kind of got to me. Sudden loud noises kind of spooked me. Fireworks weren't a real pleasurable experience for me. Fast forward to after having 9 or 10 years on the job as a firefighter paramedic, my symptoms started to manifest in depression and lethargy. I was losing confidence in my abilities as a firefighter and paramedic, and I didn't really understand what was happening.
My name is Sabrina, and I have had a long history dealing with depression, anxiety, and complex PTSD. 5 years old when I experienced my first major trauma, and then from there it kind of escalated all the way until about 2018 when I just couldn't handle any of it anymore and decided that I really need to get help.
This ketamine treatment is actually changing the game for many.
It sure is. A kind of an alarming statistic, which I'm sure you've heard, is about 22 or 23 veterans commit suicide every day in the United States. So just think about that. Almost every hour on the hour, a veteran commits suicide. So it's obviously a huge issue. And ketamine does have the ability to rapidly treat their symptoms, and especially that suicidality. Ketamine independently has been shown to be highly effective against suicidal thinking and can eliminate those thoughts sometimes after just a single treatment. So it definitely can put people at the very least into a quote unquote safe zone. And then you can go on and tackle the other issues and the other symptoms throughout the course of the treatments. It actually stimulates a process called neurogenesis. And neurogenesis is pretty much what the word implies, the formation and the stimulation of the formation of new nerve pathways, new nerve elements, synapses, axons, things like this, even nerve cells. And ketamine has been proven, like you mentioned in our introduction, in images from many institutions now, even after one single treatment of IV ketamine, 24 hours later, electron microscope images have shown that ketamine is actually already inducing new growth in the nerves and regeneration also. What happens with mental illness and chronic mental illness in particular is our brain, there's a lot of inflammation in the brain, and inflammation and all these other things lead to kind of, loss of some cellular function and even some cell death and damage and neuron damage. And ketamine has the ability to actually kind of reboot those, kind of get them going again, regrow them actually. And so even though this process of neurogenesis is coming along, it doesn't change who you are, doesn't change your personality. It's just kind of repairing and regenerating your brain and getting it back to perhaps its former healthy self.
I remember and having read and understand a wee bit about something called the amygdala, which some people have heard that word. Nobody knows what it means, but it's, Greek, it means almond. It's a little almond looking thing inside of the brain. It's sort of like this red alert thing that goes off when you're, flight, fight, flee, freeze, whatever, but it's your red alert button. And people with PTSD, that thing is just cooking all the time. It's just always red alert. And so you're endlessly hypervigilant. And apparently that causes almost a kind of plaque to grow around it that's hardened. We can become hardwired to be endlessly anxious, afraid, and gridlocked, hardwired. This releases that hardwiring to some degree.
Yeah, so this is another completely interesting thing. So when we experience trauma, obviously everybody responds different to trauma. Some people, being exposed to the same trauma may have a completely different response. One might just walk away and be unchanged. The other one might be extremely affected and develop those symptoms and that syndrome of PTSD. What happens is there's a nerve bundle in our necks, right around here on either side of the neck along the spinal column. It's called the stellate ganglion. And the stellate ganglion is a nerve bundle that is activated in the face of a traumatic event or multiple traumatic events, whatever. And it starts firing, like you said, into that amygdala of the brain, where all the symptoms are generated and all those emotions and everything. And it never stops firing. In a normal person's fight or flight response, it gets activated and it shuts off. In PTSD, what we see is it keeps firing. And that's what leads to the debilitating anxiety, the hypervigilance, the nightmares, night terrors, mood disturbances, all these things that we see in patients with PTSD. And another treatment that we offer here is called the stellate ganglion block. And that's actually a block for PTSD that is quite remarkable and is quite well published now. And that just involves going into the stellate ganglion with a needle and ultrasound guidance and just injecting local anesthetic into it and resetting it to stop that firing into the brain. And that can actually cause the cessation of PTSD symptoms instantly, like literally on the spot for 60, 70, 80% of people. It's quite remarkable.
And does that, how long does that last?
So that can last for months and months. For some people, it can last a year or more. But it definitely lasts for quite a few weeks.
Let me give out your website, and then I want to get a little bit more into how does this actually work, because it sounds cool, but the science still is a little bit fuzzy for a lot of us. How does this do what it does? The website, by the way, is called ChicagoIVSolution.com, ChicagoIVSolution.com. And of course, we're in Chicago right now talking to Dr. Balnandra, clinical treatments with ketamine, and he's using them to change the game of depression, anxiety, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, OCD, PTSD, and more. And you're hearing they also have other treatments that can last for months and months that literally can stop the PTSD right in its tracks. This is such a giant shift for humankind, for a treatment that used to be available, then it became unavailable. Politics plays a huge role in how much help you're allowed to get, at least here in the U.S. right now. So we certainly have some growth to go that way. Let's talk about how the ketamine does what it does. I guess most medications, whatever, are either taken away by the liver and removed before they get a chance to break through the blood-brain barrier, if they ever do. And ketamine especially can get into the brain where other things cannot.
Yeah, so ketamine is a small enough molecule. A lot of that is dictated by the size of the molecule, as well as its permeability in the blood-brain barrier. Ketamine intravenously, most drugs intravenously, that's where you get the highest penetration through the blood-brain barrier. So ketamine, 98 or 99% availability in the brain given IV. If you give it orally, that drops down to 30 or 40%, and nasal is in between there, around 50 or so percent. So ideally, you want that constant flow of ketamine into the brain during your treatment. So you're kind of bathing your brain in ketamine, okay? And I think that's what really kicks along that neurogenesis and the formation of those new nerve pathways and the regeneration of the brain. I think that's actually probably the most important step in the long-term benefits of ketamine, because that actually is more along, you know, there's treating something and there's healing something. And ketamine is definitely more towards the healing side of the spectrum, right? It's whereas SSRIs and these other medications are just treating symptoms, ketamine's actually kind of getting to the root cause. And that's what's remarkable about it.
So the brain, Dr. Balnandra, the brain knows what it needs to regrow somehow.
And the ketamine, I tell you, just says, it's you know, it's kind of dumbfounding, but it actually does. And it's very hard to kind of imagine it. But if I could tell you how many times I've heard people say, I feel my brain changing, which is quite an crazy thing to say or amazing thing to say and to hear, but people say it and they actually just can tell that they're, when they're going down a pathway with a mood or an emotion and something that might trigger them, that they just take an abrupt right turn, or they just are able to maneuver away from it. And that's, to them, they feel like that's because their brain is just completely changing the way it processes those things and the pathways that it takes.
Does the VA, because they're now providing treatment anyway, at rehabs and other things and covering that completely, do they see this as treatment the same way and cover it?
Well, so here's a funny thing. So I'm actually contracted with the VA. Okay. So I actually have a ketamine treatment contract with the VA's outpatient network, which I've had for whatever, 2 years now. I've probably only gotten 4 or 5 referrals.
Huh.
Because it's all referral driven. they have to refer them to you. A VA patient, if a VA patient has a around the area, whatever, it has, I'm like contracted in whatever, 8 states here as a ketamine provider. But the problem is the VA has to send you the patients and they just don't, which is obviously tragic because I have veterans calling me and saying I need help. But you know what? We actually have a veteran fund. I will charge a veteran $10. I don't care. We've never, ever turned a veteran away. And we've actually found funding sources for veterans. In other words, a lot of these big veteran nonprofits out there, they will actually fund some treatment. I've had a few of them fund the block, actually. Ketamine, I'll fund myself. And then if we need to, we can get funding for the nerve block. And we can get it like fast, like within a few days, typically. So that's a great thing, too, is we have the ability to really take care of veterans for next to nothing. Literally nothing.
Riverside Recovery of Tampa was created to offer state-of-the-art treatment options to people suffering from addiction. The model was developed to meet clients and their families where they are at and provide them with the tools and education needed so that they can achieve long-term recovery. No two people are the same, and no two people have the same experience with addiction, and it is for this reason that we tailor each treatment plan to the unique needs of each individual. Located alongside the Hillsborough River in the heart of Tampa, Riverside Recovery offers the full continuum of care, and what that means is that we offer medical detoxification, residential care, day treatment, intensive outpatient, and outpatient levels of care. The program at Riverside is focused on high quality clinical care offered in a safe, comfortable, and serene environment where everyone feels empowered to change the course of their lives. The stigma that surrounds addiction continues to be high on the list of reasons that people do not seek help. At Riverside Recovery, we are working to change the narrative and empower people to recognize addiction as a disease, not a moral failing. We can recover, and we do, as evidenced by the thousands of people who have taken that courageous first step and asking for help. The staff at Riverside understand what it's like to recover. In fact, over 75% of our staff are in long-term recovery. If you or someone you know needs help and are ready to seek treatment, call Riverside Recovery of Tampa at 1-800-871-5440. That's 800-871-5440. You can learn more about the treatment we provide at rrtampa.com. Again, that's rrtampa.com.
Life 2.0. It's your life and your reboot. It's Reboot Your Life with Carrie Harrison and Ashley Neal.
When you have to understand, people who come to our clinic, a lot of them, most of them are, you know, getting towards the end of the line as far as their therapeutic options, you know. And so they're coming in here with a hope. And they're usually incredibly anxious, obviously, and anxiety is often a thing that goes along with depression and definitely PTSD. So for them, it's more of just like a calming, soothing, incredibly kind of tranquil experience. Dissociation is pretty much what the word implies. You're dissociated from yourself. You're kind of out of body. So it's like you might feel like you're flying or floating or swimming. We've heard it all. Sometimes there's visual, sometimes there's not, but it's definitely kind of you're not in the room type of a thing, which I hear a lot. So it's usually more just calming and relaxing. A majority of people actually say to me, I don't know how the hell you would do this as a recreational drug. This is not fun. So that's kind of the input that we get.
And Dr. Belnandra, you at some point figured that this could have this effect on people. Obviously, you're an anesthesiologist. You've gone to the top university. My grandfather went there, by the way. So hooray for the University of Chicago and many of my good friends. You saw research, you saw studies, you posited different theories, whatever, and here you've really upgraded this thing to a finely tuned surgical instrument of its own, and you're seeing great successes. Are we going to see this more widespread? I know your clinic is the top one in Chicago. Chicago is the second, you know, city number two or three, whatever. It changes every other day, depending on.
We'll call it one for today.
Yeah, we'll call it one. Okay. So are we going to see more of this out there at some point, do you think?
Well, so like you said, 2016 is when this came to my mind. Okay. So in 2017, we opened our clinic. So we're 7 years going. And it was just preliminary studies, early studies that just intrigued me. I was, as an anesthesiologist, ketamine is the drug, as a drug we're trained on pretty much, other than emergency room doctors, nobody else is really, you know, trained on using ketamine the right way. So it kind of made sense, and I just had to do it. There was nothing in Cook County or our downtown area of Chicago. And so I said, let's give this a shot. And it just kind of took a life of its own on after about, you know, 6 or 8 months after opening. And we've had studies done on our data. We collect a lot of data in our clinic, and our success rates with treatment-resistant depression are actually around 80%, which is even higher than the clinical studies. So we're very proud of how we do things. And if there's one thing I can tell people out there listening and watching this, is make sure you go to a clinic with a lot of experience. Okay. There are a lot of clinics now, like getting back to your question. There's ketamine clinics in most major cities, usually a few, in fact. So it's out there. But I think it's a little bit of the wild, wild west out there, too. A lot of clinics are just opening just to make a buck. And I don't think it's ethical or right to make a buck on the back of somebody's, and, you know, mental health. Suicidal people are walking in here all the time. And you have to be able to deal with that. And it's not just something to make a few hundred bucks a day on a per treatment. You know, you have to really jump in and take care of that patient and have the compassion. And compassion is very important. And I feel like we have that here. And we do whatever we can. The doctor or primary provider always sees our patients. We evaluate them every time they come in, not the first time or the last time. Consultations are done live with us. We just really want to make sure somebody understands everything they're getting into so they get the most out of it.
And get back to like crazy cuckoo entrepreneurialism and mountain climbing and all this cool stuff that's out there.
Ketamine does that. It kind of gets people's interests, like, you know, one thing I always ask people when I'm doing my consults with them is, you know, most people have abandoned everything they really enjoy doing, you know, over their years of depression. I say, what did you like to do? What do you enjoy to do? What would you really like to start doing again that you're not doing anymore? Some people say play music, play guitar, play video games, you know, exercise, write. Writing's a big one. Reading is a big one. And they all of a sudden they have that urge. You know, within a few treatments, they're like, you know what? I actually read yesterday. I haven't done that in months or crazy. And you know, it's just wild to think that something can do that, right? Get your interest back in things that are kind of blunted and you just have no interest in them because of your mood.
That's the sweet spot right there.
Yeah.
That's what people get, is they get back the life they love.
Yeah.
Then bingo, there it is.
I just treated a girl who, you know, whatever, in her 30s, married, but her ex-husband, her former husband from 6-7 years ago, was incredibly abusive to her, very physically, verbally abusive to her. She developed PTSD, okay, and horrific anxiety. And over the last year, it got incredibly bad to the point and her new husband is very supportive, awesome guy. And it was a friend who referred them to me. She couldn't even leave the house. She couldn't drive a car. That's that hypervigilance and all the anxiety and stuff like this. Panic attacks, nightmares, night terrors all night long, waking up in the middle of the night screaming. You just incredibly classic PTSD, right? Bad, severe. Her scores were off the roof. One treatment, Carrie, it all went away. Everything. One 45-minute treatment. Gone. She's like, I don't understand this. I feel normal. I don't even know what that. I've known that for years. Isn't that amazing? And like 2 or 3 treatments in, she gets better and better and better each time now. We're still in the middle of her series. She probably she's thinking about getting the block just to really knock it down. But honestly, ketamine took care of it by itself. She probably doesn't even need the block. Even if you're 50%, even if you're 60% better on meds than you were without meds, why not be closer to 100% or 100%? I mean, that's the way I look at it. Medications will usually get you something. You know, we all know that SSRIs are about, 40% effective, which is not a great number. But why not be 100% of yourself?
Hang on. Your reboot reboots in a moment.
Riverside Recovery of Tampa was created to offer state-of-the-art treatment options to people suffering from addiction. The model was developed to meet clients and their families where they are at and provide them with the tools and education needed so that they can achieve long-term recovery. No two people are the same, and no two people have the same experience with addiction, and it is for this reason that we tailor each treatment plan to the unique needs of each individual. Located alongside the Hillsborough River in the heart of Tampa, Riverside Recovery offers the full continuum of care, and what that means is that we offer medical detoxification, residential care, day treatment, intensive outpatient, and outpatient levels of care. The program at Riverside is focused on high-quality clinical care offered in a safe, comfortable, and serene environment where everyone feels empowered to change the course of their lives. The stigma that surrounds addiction continues to be high on the list of reasons that people do not seek help. At Riverside Recovery, we are working to change the narrative and empower people to recognize addiction as a disease, not a moral failing. We can recover, and we do, as evidenced by the thousands of people who have taken that courageous first step and asking for help.
You can discover more at rrtampa.com. That's rrtampa.com. Or reach out at 1-800-871-5440. That's 800-871-5440. 1-800-871-5440.
Life 2.0. It's your life and your reboot. It's Reboot Your Life with Kerry Harrison and Ashley Neal.
From the Riverside Recovery Studios in Tampa, Florida, Kerry Harrison here with you along with Ashley Neal. And thanks for listening to Reboot Your Life, where we help you get back the life you love. Well, I want you to meet Clay Boykin, a former corporate executive and Marine Corps officer turned personal coach. He works with people from all walks of life, helping them identify their dreams, overcome obstacles, and pave the way to personal and professional success. With a rich background in leading men's groups and fostering what's known as the compassionate male movement, Mr. Boykin guides people eager to improve their lives and make a positive impact in the world. A positive impact in the world. I'm going to say that again. A positive impact in the world. Who doesn't want that? He's the author of Circles of Men. God damn it. I'm so sorry, Clay. I just need to open either glasses or bigger font. I'm going to do bigger font. See what happens at our age?
Yes.
No more.
We won't talk about age.
No, we won't. I thought the eyeballs were supposed to keep working. Oh, you can see stuff. Yankee stuff. Okay. Here we go. From the Riverside Recovery Studios in Tampa, Florida, Kerry Harrison with you along with Ashley Neal. And thanks for listening to Reboot Your Life, where we help you get back the life you love. Well, I want you to meet Clay Boykin. He's a former corporate executive and Marine Corps officer turned personal coach. He works with people from all walks of life, helping them identify their dreams and overcome obstacles, even pave the way to personal and professional success. He's got a rich background in leading men's groups and fostering what's known as the compassionate male movement. And we're going to get into what that is in just a moment. Mr. Boykin guides people eager to improve their lives and make a positive impact on the world. Did I just say make a positive impact on the world? Yes, make a positive impact on the world. What's not to love? He's also author of Circles of Men, a counterintuitive approach to creating men's groups, now on Audible, and creator of the podcast In Search of the New Compassionate Male. Clay Boykin, we're so glad to have you here today.
Kerry, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, as a personal coach, former Marine, business guy, how do you collaborate with clients to pinpoint their aspirations?
Well, the most important thing from my vantage point is to create a safe space, a place where we both can speak from the heart. And we guys don't know how to do that by and large. And so it's always a challenge to do that, to be able to create a space where men can learn how to move from head to heart, how to speak, how to learn the vocabulary to speak from the heart.
You know, Clay Boykin, I have several friends who are Marines, several like 10, 12, and half of them are just really blunt about the sort of stuff that they think they can talk about. And then the other half
have the capacity to go deeper and deeper, but again, it's kind of filtered and the rest of it. And I think a lot of it is just the way men are trained in our culture. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you see it, kill it, then find out why you didn't like it after the fact. Aim, ready, fire.
Or ready, fire, aim.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the Marine Corps, my time in the Marine Corps was a place, believe it or not, where I learned the essence of compassion.
Mm.
You know, the Marines, we take care of one another. We care for one another when we're, in the foxhole or the fighting hole, as I say, together, we're there to take care of each other. You know, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's what we do in the Marine Corps.
So that ethos, which has been around since Sparta, the ancient Greeks, going back probably to the Egyptians, to whatever degree we're able to study that, it's brotherhood, kinship, community, all of these things that we celebrate and herald as good behavior, but as men acting as individuals, without a group, just as individuals, we're taught simultaneously in our culture to just conquer it. So you're bringing people back around to, like, all of us together are in a group, in a community, in a village, and what happens in the village affects the next village and the next village. And, you know, men are, I have no idea what I'm saying.
Well, let me pick it up from there, because creating a village, that's the magic and that's the secret. When I work with men, and I've done it for over 10 years now, we approach it in a counterintuitive sense. I have a men's fellowship network and not a group. We have gatherings and not meetings. We have topics of conversation and not topics of discussion. You see where that's going?
Yeah.
So we're setting the stage differently. No one's there to call anybody out or to fix anybody. We're there to hold space for one another while each of us are learning in a safe environment how to speak from the heart, like I was mentioning earlier, and to know and realize and to see one another struggling through that lifts the entire group.
We live in a culture where not everyone understands this language. Like, we get, you know, speaking from the heart versus speaking from the head, but we don't really get, what does that even mean? Help us, because there are people listening are like, they've heard those words. They think they should know what they mean. They're embarrassed to admit they don't know what they mean. Walk us through, what does that actually mean, speaking from the heart as opposed to the head?
Well, think about it in this sense. The being intuitive is one way. The creativity. And those are a couple of heart-based ideas. But it's not either or, it's a yes and. And the key is to integrate. You know, think about it, left brain, right brain. You know, if I'm in my left brain, I know linear thinking. My right brain is not necessarily linear thinking. And we can go back and forth, but I think that's the essence of the issue we've got these days, is we're polarized one way or the other. The secret is, and this is what we attempt to do in our men's circle, is to integrate head and heart.
So Clay Boykin, we're, you know, you're really pushing for compassionate maleness. What does non-compassionate maleness looks like, so that people listening can get, oh, that's what we're talking about?
Well, we see it so much in the news today. It's the polarized. It's the polarized way of thinking. It's my way or the highway, and not considering the other person. Without going into detail, I guess the essence of it is, it's all over the news today, and it's a real struggle.
You know, it reminds me of when many of us were in kindergarten, king of the castle, all these other things that we suffered through. If you were the king, you didn't suffer. Let's just admit that. But that's what we were taught. You know, you're supposed to be king of the castle. And yet, simultaneously, you're taught table manners. You're taught to open doors for women. You're taught to be polite, to shake hands with a man, look him in the eye, not steal his wallet. You know, we're actually taught some of these compassionate things, but we're probably not taught the meaning behind them. And I think that's where you come in as a former Marine Corps officer, former corporate executive. You bring the meaning behind why this is good behavior, not just it's just good behavior.
Right. And I want to add to the things that we're taught. We're also taught boys don't cry. Mm. We don't show emotion. And so we grow up. You know, I think James Doty, who heads up the Compassion and Altruism Research Organization for Stanford University, their studies indicate that compassion is innate. We're born with it. It's our nature. And yet it's trained out of us by our culture, the patriarchy, and it's baked into the Western culture that, no, we push that down. And so we're showing up not a whole man. We're not a complete male. You know, we're going out there half-armed, if you will. And breaking through that, and like I was mentioning earlier, creating a space where I can practice that is a real gift. I know it was a real gift for me.
Carrie Harrison with you, along with Ashley Neal. We're talking to Clay Boykin, former corporate executive and Marine Corps officer turned personal coach. He helps people from all walks of life identify their dreams and overcome obstacles. He's author of Circles of Men, which is available on Audible, and as is this show, by the way, as an audiobook. Also creator of the podcast In Search of the New Compassionate Male, in which he emphasizes compassion and empathy among men, advocating for positive global change. And Clay Boykin, it seems to me that a good father would be a good example of a compassionate male. There's a place where we actually see a male act out in the ways that you're imagining, maybe even changing a diaper occasionally, but making sure the kid is fed, protected, taught skill sets that go way beyond survival, but that can be to get stuff done, to be helpful, to create a house, a village, to become a leader. To be sensitive to what people's issues are so that you can make the right decisions. I think this overlaps back into your Marine Corps and even your corporate executive world, where making decisions on behalf of others has to really ultimately be good for the whole.
Exactly right. I don't know for others necessarily, but I've witnessed it, and I've witnessed it in myself. My heart breaks open when I hold a little baby. It's there's something magic about it. And going into a corporate environment with an organization that may be highly technical and they've got everything going for them, but the one thing that's missing is heart. And to be able to bring that element into an organization, you've got all the skill set, but it's almost like wrapping your arms around everybody and say, look, you know, we hang pictures of our family up all over the walls so we know why we come to work in the morning, and recognize that we're all there to do that.
I would think that, Clay Boykin, you have a personal story. It's not like you woke up on a Thursday morning and said, huh, what a cool idea. I think I'll just pursue this with, like, no, nothing compelling me to do it. It's just kind of like a niche thing that could be kind of cool. You must have a personal story that pushed you toward needing to create this positive change in the world and help men find this area that's sitting in there, but it's locked up in lead.
Well, the cliff notes are, in 2007, when I was 53, I had a heart attack and a quintuple bypass. Shortly after that, I went back to my office in New York City on Park and 32nd Street. I went to the top of the Empire State Building for the first time and looked down at my little window down there. And I said, I've made it to the top. You know, I'm here. I'm at the top of the Empire State Building. And it's almost killed me. you know, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And shortly after that, that was when the market crashed in late 08, 09, and I was out of work for 2 years. My next job was for $9 an hour part-time at the local office store. And so from here to here, dark night of the soul, and then coming out of that, one of the things I recognized was that I didn't trust other men. And I've got to get over that for me to heal. And that was the impetus for me to gather other men around me and say, do you feel this? Let's figure it out together. I'm not going to preach to you and tell you how to do it because I don't have the answer, but together, let's figure this out.
Yeah. And unlike in the Marines or in a corporate structure where you really have the guy above you telling you what to do and not to think too deeply about it, just do as you're told. Each of us is actually able to have critical thinking and figure out what is my relationship to this situation and how can I do it the best way possible. You're certainly trained that because when you're in the field, in the military, you actually have to make some of those determinations. How big, how small, how far, how much, how little. And much of that is the life in which we live. So when you're dealing with men, and we now know that in these modern times, men are not all John Wayne. They're not all this monolithic single version where you're just talking only to that. But we are now dealing with sexual orientation, fluidity, who knows what, pronouns, gender dysmorphia. Some are A-type personalities. Some are really mellow. Some are religious. You've got to find that sweet spot in between.
I tell you where that sweet spot is. That's recognizing that all men are wounded. It's not whose wound is more important or whose wound is worse, but it's that we're all wounded. And more so, add to it, the yes and is women are wounded too. There's an organization called Gender Equity and Reconciliation International, and they bring women and men together and create a space for that kind of healing, to recognize that our common ground is that we're all wounded. And we begin to grow and learn from there and learn from each other and recognize and get over some of these gender-related issues and look at one another as another human being.
Can you share with us, Clay Boykin, maybe a success story of how you've seen a remarkable transformation? And this would be under your care and guidance. Like somebody comes in and they're wounded. We all are traumatized, this, that, and the other. But they had a remarkable transformation and you knew I'm onto something here.
Well, what happens so often is a new gentleman will come into the circle and they'll be quiet. They won't say anything for 2, 3, 4 weeks. And so many times, the first time they speak, not only are they speaking from a place that they never knew they could speak from, but it makes sense. And they hear themselves speak for the first time. One of the fellows, after he really got into what we were doing and really, really was benefiting from it, he said, you know, I come in here every Monday night and I buff up my armor and get all the kinks out of it so I can go back out in the world. You know, and I come back in and I clean it. You know, that's what we need. We need a safe space to come to do that. And there's so many success stories.
we have, you know, great heroes that we were taught in school. Henry David Thoreau, when any of us read Walden Pond, don't know if it's still offered today in schools, but it was important. He was a unique early American, and he was the guy who really invented the notion of nonviolent resistance because he wanted his voice to be heard, but he realized that just using the same level of violence but stronger was the same thing we'd seen since the dawn of humankind. And so he sat and meditated, if you will, at Walden Pond in Massachusetts for some 3 months. And from him came Dr. Martin Luther King, before him, Gandhi, A lot of these folks have replicated this unique American idea of being thoughtful, open, sharing space with others, really invented in this country. And you're bringing this back now and making it popular. This is why it's really cool right now. What a benefit.
I see men every day. They may not be saying it, but you can see it in their eyes. They long for it. They long for the ability to be able to touch into that, to be kind, to be generous. That's our nature. And given leadership that opens that door and gives permission for men to be a complete male, you know, head and heart, the left and right brain, you know, all of that together, is, and not be either or, but the having the leadership that creates that space is so key. And that leadership at whatever level in the corporate world, in the government world, stand up, create that space, and people will model after you.
So I'm just going to end with how we know this is true, because that's always my favorite part. Here's how we know that's true. If it weren't true, there would be no civilization. There wouldn't be railways. There wouldn't be people on boats out on the water. There wouldn't be tennis. There wouldn't be Shakespeare. There would be nothing, because it would just be literally dog eat dog with no hope at all. And we never would have evolved from the Neanderthal into Homo erectus, which we are today. So we know that innately at the core are really good, well-meaning people. But the culture is like a paintbrush. It paints us yellow. It paints us green. It tells us this is good. It tells us this is bad. You hear those messages over and over again, enough and enough. You believe it and you start to operate that like a laptop getting software repeatedly, a single kind of software. And when there's an operating system that will accommodate a much wider range of motion. So we have this evidence throughout history, and it's time for us to upgrade our software as we do here on Reboot Your Life. And I want to thank you, Clay Boykin, for being out there, putting your neck out there as a former Marine, as a corporate executive, to help men re-crack open that shell and find the inner strength that has been so long sitting there within.
Thanks, Kerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Check out our Reboot Your Life hotline. We've set up a dedicated phone number so you can leave your comments, thoughts, and feedback whenever you'd like. It might even get on the air. Maybe you have a story that you feel needs to be shared or told. So, get it off your chest. Text or call our Reboot Your Life hotline at 323-8-REBOOT. That's 323-8-REBOOT. 323-8-REBOOT. 323-8-REBOOT.
Did you know that Riverside Recovery of Tampa embodies a holistic approach to addiction treatment? With a team of compassionate professionals dedicated to guiding people towards lasting recovery, Riverside Recovery provides a comprehensive range of evidence-based therapies, counseling, and support services. Riverside Recovery understands that every person's journey is unique. Their personalized treatment plans are crafted with care, addressing the individual needs, challenges, and aspirations of each resident. Whether someone is navigating the early stages of recovery or seeking ongoing support, Riverside Recovery stands as a steadfast partner on the path to wellness. At Riverside, recovery is not only possible, but also a transformative journey towards a brighter, healthier future. Ask folks who've been there, people who have rediscovered their inherent worth and potential. Located in the serene surroundings of Tampa, Riverside is a peaceful retreat of tranquility conducive to self-reflection and healing. Riverside Recovery believes that the journey to recovery is not about just overcoming challenges, but also about discovering your own inner strength and resilience. The dedicated staff at Riverside Recovery are your compassionate companions on the road to recovery, and they recognize that true healing encompasses the mind, body, and spirit, all while comfortably addressing the many aspects of addiction. You can learn more at rrtampa.com. That's rrtampa.com, rrtampa.com, or call 1-800-871-5440, 800-871-5440, 800-871-5440.
800-500-5440.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills.
800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on. And now, you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-380-4194. 800-380-4194. That's 800-380-4194.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills.
800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. 800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031.